Succession number 27057, Reel 6.
What did it feel like to have to smash your truck up?
Wasn't happy. Wasn't happy at all. No. No, I wouldn't be. And that truck was part of me. And I think I did a good job. I'm not certain, but I did. I know that I did a good job. Even whatever was happening at all, that thing, I never once, only once did I feel like I was going to have trouble. That was when I was taking the gun out of the first recruit. And I had kerosene. And that was the only time that from then on I treated that truck as though it was my baby. And I started up in the morning and started up in the evening when we're in waiting lines. And it hurt me terribly to have to smash that motor. I mean, that motor was only a four-cylinder job, and she never once, except when the kerosene was there, did it let me down, and I got out of quite a few places where it was hard to get out of it, and extra load, taking all that bloody ammunition, and George Fulton, he was determined I'd take it, and I was determined I wouldn't, but I finished up, I had to take it, and I said to him, you keep the whole troop back until I'm loaded, and then I'll start my car, my vehicle, and you got to get the whole troop. It's got to push the truck and the trail and everything so I can get out of that slight rise. And because being from a dead start, with God knows how much ammunition and all that, the gun and the trailer, we didn't have much gear. That was very much little.
When you talk of being attacked by the Germans, when you talk of the situation, mm-hmm. you're retreating. How did you see the Germans and their equipment compared to what you were using?
Didn't know much about them. Didn't know very, very, very little about them. I don't know whether they had the 88 there or not, and that apparently was a very good gun. It was the main, one of the main things, but the Germans had that 88, that's 88 millimetres, well, that's a fair size.
What of the morale at the base of your preparation to evacuate? How would you have rated the morale at this point? You're smashing up your trucks.
Well, I told you, I was very hurt that I'd smashed this vehicle. And the morale. Well, I didn't know my gun crew had left me then, and the sergeant was still with me. Until I went, I did a bit more than not smashing my vehicle, and then I got onto the beach, and I walked along the beach, and then got on. That's right, we got onto a land. landing class, I think it was. I'm not certain of that, but it was some vehicle anyway. We got on, and she wouldn't go. She started up, and I couldn't go, wouldn't it? So the word came back, the last 20 on, get off, because we can't move. So I was in one of the last 20. And we got off, and we thought, that's bloody lovely now. And there wasn't any more landing crafts or anything. So we walked along the beach and got to a boat. And me and another bloke, we pushed it out as quickly as we could and got it out to sea. Now, I don't know how we were going, or how we, I don't know. And the launch came up, and finally the boat filled up, the launch came along, threw us a rope and started, took us, started to tow us. We get so far out, and when we found another boat with the full to capacity, and that wasn't going anywhere. So we went around, swung around it, threw a rope to it, and we got out and came alongside this bloody, which big black thing. I got a rifle, because only the drivers and the artillery and rifles. I got a rifle over my back and 150 rounds of ammunition. That's three bandoliers. I had no tin helmet because I'd thrown that away. A haversack and my Aussie hat. So we get to the side of the boat and we get up on scrambling nets. I got near to what I reckon might be the top, because you could see the sky in it. And I said, I'm buggered. Absolutely buggered. I said, I can't make it any further. I can't. Somebody hit me fair and square in the ass. And I sort of went a bit further. Then a couple of matelots leaned over the side. And they grabbed me by the wrists. They said, let go. Let go, matey. Let go, matey. This is for me. And I let go, and they sort of put me. And I hit the jack straight on my face and straight across, and it come up bang with the hell of a bang. And I got up, and then I saw a man like there. Come on, matey, come on, matey, he said. And I said, right, down I go to him. And he pulls the curtain aside, and down the stairs I go, and I get halfway down these stairs, and a sailor handed me a bloody big mug of boiling hot cocoa. So I said, oh, you bloody brute. I got down. They said, keep going, keep going. So we were down in the bowels of the bloody ship, which we found out next morning was the Ajax. The Ajax of the Ajax, Achilles, and the three boats, three destroyers that sank the Graf III. And so the next morning we wake up and we find we're going the wrong way. And we come into the creek.
Okay, well, during the night of the 26th of April, The German paratroopers had captured the Corinth Canal. Most of the Australian and New Zealand servicemen were among the 48,000 to embark. Had you heard of the paratroopers, the drop in the Corinth Canal?
No, hadn't heard of them at all. We were a unit on its own. We right all the way down. Whenever we went into action, there was not another bloody soldier anywhere near us that I knew of, and we kept going like that all the way down. So
you mentioned that you were going the wrong way. Presumably you thought you were going back to Alexandria.
Well, that's what we reckoned as Alexandria, you see, but then we were going the wrong bloody way. Actually, it wasn't very long. I don't know what time it was. It was a bit after daybreak. Oh, that's the sun was up there, I remember that. Could see Stukas were coming down out of the sun on to the Ajax. And
tell us about that. What do you remember of that experience?
All I can remember about that is that the one of the Navy blokes said to me, the old man, when the Stukas come round, the old man's got him. So these bloody big, I don't know what they are, 16-inch guns or something like that, he used to have them at maximum elevation and fired blanks. And of course, if the Stuka was in sort of range, it would blow it to pieces because of the terrific air. I don't know whether it's four guns or what. You can imagine what the firing a blank. They said to me, Matlow said to me, he's got a couple of bloody players, the old man. they talk about the captain of the ship as the old man.
So he had a few good ideas. Were you on the deck all when you saw this?
I didn't see this happen. I never saw it, but I do know that they told me that if they can get in the, if he gets them in the blast of the guns, he says he'll blow them to pieces. And they had seen him do quite a few.
What was the sense of excitement on board?
Not really. I think we were too tired. All I knew, I was bloody happy to be on board that boat. And then when we wake up and find we're going the wrong way.
Well, what did people say when they heard that you were going to Crete?
Well, they didn't know where we were going. But, well, all of them.
But you're going the wrong way, so what did you say about
Well, we
yourself?
Didn't know. We reckoned we were going the wrong way, put it that way. And we were, because she'd turned around and come back to see Crete. Greece is only 60 miles from Crete.
Why, do you know? Why had she come back?
Because she'd left. Oh, that's the story. And I think it's probably... She realised she'd left quite a lot of men on Crete. She was going back to see if she could pick them up. That's all I know. And whether she picked them up or not, I don't know.
Well, here, people talk of Greece as the second Dunkirk.
Mm-hmm.
How did it feel to be in this situation? You mentioned that you'd arrived in England when Dunkirk was happening. What did it feel like to be in the sort of second experience of that for the Allied Army?
I don't really know. I somehow don't think Well, I don't think I'd even thought of it in that. The first time I've heard that is when, what you just said okay. then.
But you were on the retreating side. What did it feel like to be on the retreating side?
It was, I don't know, I was going to say sad, but it can't be, it couldn't be that. It was just, I didn't register the fact is that I was going away, and the fact that we were going away, and we I was wondering again, one of the things I was wondering about, what sort of vehicle I would get, because I knew I'd be a driver again, and I was wondering whether I'd get a bloody Marmon Harrington. That's a, I was teaching to drive him, as a bugger of a thing.
Well, what was the prime vehicle that a driver considered to be good to have?
Well, I, to my mind, I reckon that Morris Quad did all that I was asking on it, and including that when having to take on twice as much bloody ammunition as I was. The 25 pounder and the shells and all that, they're pretty weighty, but I know.
What was it like then to get to Crete, and why were you taken off at Crete? How did you get off the Ajax?
Because disembarked all of us and then went back to Greece. That was the whole score. That was why, and we don't know. I don't know to this day whether she brought any more back or not.
So they dropped you on Crete to go and get more men from Greece.
Yeah.
What were you then told to do once you were on Crete?
Well, the first thing I was told to do when we woke up next morning was to hand my rifle and ammunition over, and I wouldn't.
Sounds pretty sensible.
And George Killy, my captain, said, well, Bill, he said, I'll go and have another talk to him. So he went away, and he came back, and he said, I'm sorry. It was me and another bloke, I think it was Sidney Brennan, I might have said who it was, another bloke and me, another driver, who had carried his rifle and ammunition. I carried three lots of bloody ammunition, took more ammunition than a soldier in the front line had. I had 150 rounds, and that 303 ammunition, that's not light. I was climbing the side of this bloody boat. Anyway, George came up and he said, no, Bill, you either hand them over or we'll take them and you'll be court-martialed. So,